Question 27. Have you understood all these things? Matthew 13:51. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Jesus was always speaking in parables. This was to the dismay of the disciples, for they were unfamiliar with this idea, and asked him, when they were alone, Why do you do this? Jesus explained, It's because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For those who hold to the ideas of universalism, the eventual saving of all mankind, and similar doctrines contrary to Bible election and foreordination, speaking in parables is an irritation and a stumbling block. However parables are received, Christ never budged from his modus operandi. There is understanding available for those to whom the parables are given, but to the rest they will be considered foolishness, be misunderstood, or forever remain a mystery. It's interesting to note that with few exceptions, most people think they do understand the parables of Jesus. I think I understand, and you think you do, but do we? Jesus was teaching on the end and final judgment of all mankind. He taught that there was coming a day when all injustice will be overridden, all inequity balanced, and all things set right. On this day, there will be a selection and separation that takes place. He terminated the lesson with this analogy. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then he looked into the unblinking and wide eyes of his disciples as they shook themselves back into this world and heard him ask, perhaps for the second or third time, Have you understood all these things? They nod their heads slowly and automatically and say, Yes, Lord. Friend, have you understood all these things? Do you understand that one day you will stand before a judgment bar and give an account? The analogies, parables, metaphors, all interpreted any way you like, will lead even the slightly motivated to an understanding that one day we will stand before the one who made us and face judgment for how we conducted ourselves while here on this earth. The fish in the net, the sheep in the coat, the ready and waiting bridesmaids, all are to be applied to mankind standing judgment. By all accounts, we'll not be asked what we believed, what doctrine we held to, or what Bible we read. We'll not be asked questions to which there are right or wrong answers. There's no quiz requiring a passing grade. We will give an account of our works, what we did, what we did not do, and that alone will prove what we believed while living here on this earth. Have you understood all these things? Do you know that there is an irreversible day in your future, a day which you will be determined to be chaff or wheat, as in Luke 3:17, a sheep or a goat, as in Matthew 25:32, faithful or unfaithful, as in Matthew 24:45, a day in which you will be found ready or not ready, Luke 12:40. Wise or unwise, Matthew 25. Walking on the straight path that ends at a narrow gate entering life, or walking on the broad road terminating at the wide gate which leads to your destruction. A day when all the choices you made in life, all the paths you may have chosen in your journey, will be held in the piercing light of pure and holy judgment. It'll be then that it occurs to you it wasn't a string of choices that directed your life, but you will find that they were all the same choice made over and over again. It's the choice of life and death, the choice of your way or his way made over and over. Soon it will be shown that the little daily choices you made add up and divide out to be the great choice of your eternity. For it will culminate into one last great choice that you will find has already been made by you. It'll be shown that you have already chosen by your life one of two roads, one of the two destinations, one of two eternities, between two rewards, and between two lords. You cannot expect to be granted the reward of those who always chose his way in life. If your record is that you've consistently chosen mammon over your God in the whole of your life, do you think that if you choose him at the end of your life, at the beginning of eternity, that it will erase the evidence of a misspent life? No, this choice, your choice, you will find has been made before this great day in every choice you made while in this life. Have you understood all these things? We need to reread the text recording what Christ said concerning the end, our judgment, and eternity. He was very prolific. He minced no words. He left no room for doubt on matters of judgment. The clarity of our understanding on that day, the inane excuses that we will never bother to offer, the futility of our lives, the uselessness of our influence, the stupidity of political power, the helplessness, hopelessness of the damned, are all too clear as we read the words of Christ. The very life that we have striven to keep will be forever lost. The money we gained will be in another's hand. The barns and bank accounts filled by us will be emptied by another. At the dawn of judgment, our vaporous life we nurtured and cherished so much will, at the first peak of the red-hot sun's appearing, vanish away into a dreamlike story whose insipid and meaningless plot will then determine our eternity. Jesus warned as no one else ever has. Have you understood all these things? Our lives are only as good as their end. When we chase temporal things in life, we become dull to eternity. When we seek God's will and search out his way in all we do, we find real life, a life with a purpose, a life with no end. We cannot avoid life's final chapter. It's more sure than the sunrise, more dependable than gravity, as much a part of our life as birth. Yet, we do not live for its end. Hear the words of William Penn. The great business of man's life is to answer the end for which he lives, and that is to glorify God and save his own soul. This is the decree of heaven as old as the world. But so it is that man minds nothing less than what he should mind most, and despises to inquire into his own being, its original duty and end, choosing rather to dedicate his days to gratify the pride, avarice, and luxury of his heart, as if he'd been born for himself, or rather given himself being, and so not subject himself to the reckoning and judgment of a superior power. To this wild and lamentable condition has poor man brought himself by his disobedience to the law of God in his heart, by doing that which he knows he should not do, and leaving undone what he knows he should do. And as long as this disease continues upon man, he'll make God his enemy, and himself incapable of the love and salvation that he has made real to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, to the world. Have you understood all these things? Christ Jesus has an answer. He has an answer to any who call on him. You need not dread the end. You can face it with the confidence that you will face not an enemy, but a friend. If you do what he commands. You need not pay for your selfish life with your eternal life, for he laid his life down in your stead. Christ can redeem and sanctify you, make you clean, and he can secure your eternity if you will trust him with your life. Have you understood all these things?